The cause of conservation can take a great leap in the Rogue River Basin if the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy can bring its latest central project to completion. That project is the purchase of a chunk of land along the Rogue River north of Medford. Heart of the Rogue is what the project is called. We have Diane Garcia, the Executive Director of SOLC, here in the studio with us. Hi, Diane.
Good morning, Jeff.
And Christy Mergenthaler is with us as well. She's the Stewardship Director of the Land Conservancy. Welcome to you.
Thanks for the invitation.
So, Diane, give us the sketch first of the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy and perhaps some of the lands you've already protected.
We are this region's land trust or conservation organization. We've been around since 1978. We were the first regional land trust to form in Oregon. And our job is to work with landowners and communities, farmers, ranchers, and help them keep their land in the kind of condition that it is today, the way that they're managing it, to conserve the special features of their property. And we do that either through conservation agreements with the landowners or sometimes through the ownership of the land, like in this project.
Do the conservation agreements include easements, that sort of thing?
Yes, they're called conservation easements. That's the legal term for the agreement that we have with the landowner.
Now, and it's an interesting process because the actual the conservation easements stay with the land in perpetuity. Is that right?
They
stay attached no matter who owns the land?
They do. They become part of the title to the property. And if the property sells, the conservation easement stays with the property. So it is passed on to all the future landowners.
So, Christy Mergenthaler, tell us about the lands under SOLC stewardship, both owned and through agreements, and how much of it there is and
sure.
Where some of it is.
We've conserved over 10,000 acres, primarily in the Rogue Basin, and that includes farms, ranches, working forests, and wonderful wildlife habitat. Some local examples are Eagle Mill Farm, an organic farm in Ashland, C2 Ranch outside of Eagle Point, some community places like the Jacksonville Woodlands, Ortson Todd Woods, Siskiyou Mountain Park, outstanding Streamside Forest, and Oak Woodlands.
That's a bunch of stuff going on. So Diane, how did this particular chunk of land, 352 acres, is it, become available?
Well, about 7 years ago, we started working with the landowners of this property. The landowners are the MacArthur family. There's about 17 individuals who are the owners, and they are descendants of Robert Rule. Robert Rule came to our valley in 1911, and he became the editor and publisher of the Medford Mail Tribune through the 1950s. And he bought this property in 1943, and his descendants own it today. And they approached us about 7 years ago with an interest in conservation. And it's taken many twists and turns since that time. But about 2 years ago, they decided they wanted to sell the property, and they offered it to us. And, of course, it's such an outstanding property that we were very excited to have the opportunity to purchase it.
Is there any sort of time limit on it, like come up with dollars by X date or the deal is off?
There is. Mm-hmm. We have an option to purchase that actually expires at the end of this year, so December 31st, 2016.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So, no pressure there. How much money is the purchase price, and where are you now?
The purchase price for the property is $2.4 million. It was actually appraised at $3 million, and the family is giving us a bargain sale. There's also costs associated with the project, as well as we want to make sure that we can manage this property and provide good stewardship for it way, way into the future. And so we're creating a stewardship endowment fund as well. So the total cost of our whole project is $3.5 million.
Okay, so pushing beyond just the purchase price. I was going to ask you about whether there was money for maintenance down the road, and it sounds like you factored that in.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that we can use the interest from our investment to pay the taxes, keep the lights on, allow the public to come and use the property and experience the property. We want to be able to maintain the historic dwelling that's on the property. A variety, as any homeowner or landowner knows, there are expenses associated with owning land.
Christy Mergenthaler, it's not like any place along the Rogue would not be great, but how much of a jewel is this, and where?
This is a little bit north of Eagle Point, and if you've ever floated between the Tequilma Boat Ramp and Dodge Bridge County Park, you've floated by this property. It is 352 acres and represents a remnant of the wild valley floor of the Rogue Basin. The first time that I went to the property with a coworker, it was a misty day, and we were walking through the oak woodland, and out of the mist appeared 40 elk. Magically, like a King Arthur tale, and then they disappeared. This property has a numerous habitats, including an incredible floodplain forest, oak woodlands, chaparral, meadows, and it is the remnant, the northern extension of the Agate Desert, which is a landform of vernal pools and mounded prairies. It supports over 29 species of plants and animals that are rare and declining, over 300 species of beautiful flowering plants, and supports Chinook, Coho, and Steelhead, both their rearing and spawning habitat.
Sounds like a transition zone, like the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, where you get different sorts of ecosystems meeting each other.
It's definitely a mosaic, and so oak woodlands are next to meadows, next to chaparral, next to floodplain forest. And we know that species, especially like these edges between habitats, and that's one of the reasons why it's so rich in animal wildlife. A local biologist, Pepper Trail, calls the floodplain forest a green cathedral. And it is. It's a beautiful and magical place to be in. And then this time of year right now, the Chinook salmon are spawning on the Ming stem of the Rogue River. And last year, I went into the floodplain forest and walked around, and I saw Chinook salmon carcasses dragged 50 feet into the floodplain forest. And next to them, the decaying carcasses were gigantic bear scats. It's a stinky wonderland. And the Chinook, the salmon feed the forest, but this forest, the complexity of the back channels and wetlands and swales and sloughs also support our salmon.
That was a great audio advertisement for the Heart of the Rogue Project of the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Christy Mergenthaler is the Stewardship Director. Diane Garcia is the Executive Director. You can join our conversation here on the Jefferson Exchange about the land and the process of acquiring it. There is a deadline. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a phone call from Lamar in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Diane and Christy.
Thank you. I've driven by that property, and it's beautiful. I'm a fisherman, and I was wondering if fishermen would have access to the Rogue River on that property to fish.
All right. That's a great question about what the access to the public will be like if this all goes through. Christy Mergenthaler.
Hello, Lamar. Yes, already fisher folk have access up to the high water mark on the Rogue River. In fact, it's a very popular place for fisher folks. There's some nice fishing holes on that stretch of the Rogue River. Fly fishers come upstream from Dodge Bridge County Park. We expect to have days that the property will be open to fishers from the mainland and not from the Rogue River side in the future. But it currently, and in our ownership, will still be a great place for fishing. And, of course, a great habitat to bring more fish into the world.
What kind of shape is the place? I mean, you describe it as pristine, you gave us the Pepper Trail description of it as a bit of a cathedral. Has the land been worked heavily? Was it farmed heavily, ranched heavily, anything like that that has degraded it somewhat as habitat?
It's shockingly for valley floor in very good condition. Over the last 70 years, it's been barely used. In the past, when Burdette Dodge, who Dodge Bridge County Park is named after, he grazed the property with cattle. But overall, it is in excellent condition. There are some noxious weeds, and we plan on doing some light to moderate habitat enhancement on the property. But all the habitats are in excellent shape.
So $3.5 million, Diane Garcia, to get enough to purchase and to have money in the kitty for maintenance and upkeep and stewardship down the road. How are you doing in terms of the eventual goal, and how many bushes are you shaking at this point to see if dollars will fall out?
We're shaking all the bushes, but we're doing very well. Our campaign is, I think, going along better than we had ever anticipated. And when we started, it felt like a very, very big number, and we're getting closer to it. We've raised over $2.5 million.
So you're under $1 million left to go then.
Under $1 million. We have about 700,000 in pending grants that we're waiting to hear about. So if and when those come through, that will put us very close to reaching our goal by the end of the year.
One of the reasons I asked the question of the previous guest from Patagonia about whether they go for local environmental groups was knowing that you guys were coming in afterward. Have you approached Patagonia to see if they might help in the process of securing the Heart of the Rogue project?
We have not approached Patagonia, but after listening to your show, Christy and I both gave each other sort of the eye, and we said we definitely need to approach Patagonia. A lot of the money that we've received for the project, approximately, we're anticipating that about $2.5 million of the total will be coming from grants, both federal, state, and private foundation grants. And we have about a $1 million campaign for gifts from individuals and corporations.
Anybody sitting in the wings waiting to see if other people get in? I mean, you can see, but believe me, working for public radio, we see that happen at our own fund drive.
Absolutely. I think the closer we get to our goal, the more people want to jump on the wagon. People like to know that they're supporting a project that is actually going to happen. So I think that we're at that point right now, and our campaign is really at a heightened place. You know, every day we're getting gifts come in toward this particular project.
Christy Mergenthaler, how does this chunk of land fit in with other properties that the Land Conservancy may have in that general area of the Rogue River, or is there anything else nearby?
Well, it's in one of our focus areas, the Middle Rogue area. That includes portions of the Aga Desert, riverfront, and ranches and farms. We already have some protected properties in the area, a couple farms in the Sam's Valley area, as well as a beautiful property, the Woodhouse property, that some of you might have driven by north of Eagle Point on Highway 62.
The old saggy house.
Yeah, the beautiful.
No, not longer sagging anyway.
No, a local historical group has restored it. So it includes the view of the historical building, grazing land, as well as vernal pool and mounded prairie, supporting some endangered species like vernal pool fairy shrimp and large flowered woolly meadowfoam.
Can this project dovetail with the projects of other organizations? Like I know the Freshwater Trust has been working at making sure that there's shade for streams that feed into the Rogue. Is there much of a chance of an opportunity for combining forces?
Absolutely. And in fact, our steering committee that has been helping us with planning the management plan and fundraising includes a number of people, including Eugene Weir from the Freshwater Trust. We have other potential partners, too, like Coyote Trails and Jackson County Soil and Water Conservation District, who are interested in bringing kids out to the property.
The term active management appears in here. That might scare a few people because management often means things like cutting down trees. So when you use the term active management, what are you talking about for this ranch?
Well, I welcome all of your listeners to come join me and pull some noxious weeds from the property that threaten the biodiversity. We might do a little cutting of some of the trees and shrubs to reduce fire hazard along the road. But overall, the active management will be minimal, but part of our role is to monitor and watch for future threats, be it garbage, new noxious weeds, or other changes.
And what we do with the buildings on the property, there's a home, at least one home there, right?
Yes, there's an incredible historic home that was built in 1920 or 22. It was always used as a sort of retreat, a summer lodge. The Rule and family never lived there permanently. They lived in Medford. There's actually a street named Rule Way.
And a little park, too.
And Rule Park. And they would come out there on the weekends, bring the family, all the kids. And so the house is in really great shape. It was built sort of in a lodge style, and it's got original exterior siding, original windows and doors and floors, and many of the fixtures like bathtubs and sinks. So our goal is to eventually restore the house and have it as a community resource.
And where do people find you? Is it solc.org?
It's landconserve.org.
Landconserve.org to find the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Diane Garcia, the executive director. Christy Mergenthaler, the stewardship director. We're talking about the Heart of the Rogue Project. Thank you both for joining us today in the Exchange.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
Thank you.
You bet.